Good evening. I think I'm getting shorter. Or Dr. Foster is really tall. And well, technically, I shrunk 2 inches. I just saw my cardiologist. And whenever I see my cardiologist, he always tells me, Dr. Yenga, yes, sir, you're not a doctor today. You're a patient. Yes, sir. That's what I usually do. Last time, my wife and me went to our cardiologist for the checkup. He usually checks up every 3 months. But this time, he said, I want to see you in a year. Thank you, Lord, because for the past 2 years, we have been coming in and out of the hospital, and we have a great position. Well, anyway, I am so thankful that we are having this missionary meeting and from all over the world, and I want to make you upbeat, okay? We are living on exciting times, and this is what I have been mentioning. I went to the Philippines, but before I do that, I have been presenting Christ for the Philippines locally. First one was here in Ann Arbor at Fellowship Bible. The next one, I went to Brighton, the Trilex Baptist Church. The third one was in Kohata, Calvary Bible Church. The fourth one was in Whitmore Lake, which is the Calvary Baptist Church. And the last one was at Williamstown Baptist Church. So there are 5 additions that is supporting our mission. Now, if you don't get this one, I want you to read it. And it is a very nice summary. And I cannot remember everything that happened, but this is the shortest one that I could tell you. There were 5 churches that I visited during that time. And during that time, there was a typhoon warning. There was an international meeting in the area for the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. It was canceled. And I was supposed to go the next day to Iloilo. And they said that, I think it's going to be canceled. The next day, they said, it's go. So I went, and Pastor Paraki and Mel met me. The first church that we went was nice. It rained. When we are ready to go to the second church, it stopped. And then when we were inside, it rained. And so on and so forth for the 5 churches. Now, I will just read you the churches that I visited. The First Baptist Church of Saraga, Leganes Fundamental Baptist Church, Bread of Life Christian Fellowship, Tigbawan Baptist Church, Bread of Life Baptist Church, and Tubungan Baptist Church. Those were what? Now, in summary, I am thankful for the Lord for what He is doing in our mission. It is not us. It is the Lord. And I am thankful for the Lord that He gave us godly men, women, and children to help the ministry. And here are the list of 13 pastors and 12 churches that has been established. That's very unusual for a small group of missionaries. We are not big. We are small in group, but our results are big. And I am thankful for the Lord for His provision. In this letter, Pastor Paraki was asking prayer need for dependable transportation to use during the parlor. Guess what? We got a beautiful van that we got a plate for 10 years. For 10 years. Because it is non-profit. One of the supporting church paid $2,000. And the rest of the 12 or 15,000, we paid it. That did not come from us. It came from the Lord. Lord's provision for personal needs by on furlough, I think it's being met. the Alparakistar year. Additional support in churches to meet the growing need. Our problem is here, we are growing so fast, and we are just asking for the Lord, Lord, we need financial support. And then the Lord gave it to us. If the Lord wants it, it is His will, He will open the door. If He doesn't want it, He will close it. And that's all there is to it. And I'm very upbeat on it. I told them, Mel and Bert, when I got there, I was sick. I could barely walk. And I told them not to talk to my wife, tell that I was sick. I was limping. I ate the whole thing. And I got sick because of the good food. I had to be given injection. I had to be led upstairs to speak and things like that. But I was smiling because I like to eat the one that I'm not supposed to. I am a doctor, I know that. But what is that? Once in a while, forgive me, Lord, I misbehave. Okay, I won't do anything more, and I will ask Pastor Alparaki to present the slide that of the visit. And Pastor?
That's the president of our mission, and we praise the Lord for giving us one who is dedicated and godly and gave us a good example. By the way, the members of our board, they serve on a voluntary basis for the past 26 years now. They don't get any any pay at all for the past 25 years. They pay their own way in attending the board meetings, and I always thank the Lord for each one of them. So we have a very high regard and respect for Dr. Yanga, the president of our mission. And we are really excited because the work is really growing. As we continue to pray for the work and help together, more churches will be established in the coming years. The promise of the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, I am watching over my word to perform it. And the word is being preached every day over the airwaves, and God is watching it and multiplying it to the point that people are getting saved. And I think you are familiar also with that verse in Isaiah 55, verse 11. My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I pleased, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. His word will not return unto him void. That's why we thank God for his promise to bless and keep his word. You know, for 25 years now, we have seen the Lord really blessing the ministry. Not only the 10 churches that were established, but more people are listening to the broadcast. There was one survey made in one of the big cities in Panay, Rojas City. A group of survey men from Manila came to Rojas to make a survey to find out what program is well listened to by the people. And the result of the survey was our program came out number one. I mean, against the commercial program that they have. So we were excited. That means that many are listening to the program. And then another city in Bacolod from another island, they also made a survey. And our program also came out number one in that station. So we are just excited to report this to you. Not to brag, but we see the Lord using it to reach more people. And it's exciting to know that more people are being reached by the gospel. Why radio? How do you plant churches by means of radio? Well, these people who are listening to the broadcast, they write to us. And after that, we try to locate them and start a Bible study in their homes. They will invite their neighbors, and that Bible study continue to grow, and later on we will look for a lot and start a building, start a church. That's how we do it. That church in Boracay, it was started by a young man who came to the office one day and he said, Pastor Pert, so many are listening in this island. And why don't we start a church here? That is the broadcast beaming from Rojas City, reaching the island of Boracay. And he said to me, because he's working in one of the hotels there in Boracay. And he said, I'm willing to resign from my work and start the church. I was excited. So I interviewed him, and he started the work. Now we have a very solid work now in Boracay, Grace Fundamental Baptist Church. And I think I mentioned to you last time that from the church, they sent their first missionary to Romblon, to another island, supporting it by themselves. And this fellow, since he needs some more training, we sent him to Dome and finished his formal training. He graduated top of the class, just an, a great soul winner and doing a great job in the island of Boracay. Well, there are many reasons why radio is so effective in reaching people. I would like just to read this to you, because radio transcends almost all barriers, right? Whether ideological barrier, religious barrier, culture barriers, or social barriers. And radio can overcome that. Not only that, radio has an enormous multiplication of efforts. It can speak to the whole population. Many can be reached. I will be preaching here, and 5,000 or 10,000 people listen to the broadcast through radio. Cost-wise, much cheaper than TV. I think I mentioned to you here that we only pay $200 for a daily 13-minute broadcast. You preach every day for 30 minutes, and you pay $200. How much do you pay here in America? You can't buy it that cheap. And it is, radio is highly personal medium of communication that can be enjoyed in almost any setting. And a private, there was one who was saved. The name is Mrs. Tan. One day she called me and she said, why don't you come to my house to talk to my husband? I said, why? Well, she said, I've been listening to your broadcast for over a year now, and I would like you to come to my house and talk to my husband. So I located the place. It's a huge house, and the gate is made of steel, that if you knock on the door, you cannot penetrate that house. But somehow she has a radio inside her room. That's how she was rich, and she was saved, and the husband and the children. The children now are very active in the church. One now is a deacon of a Chinese church, because that family is a Chinese, very rich family, and now members of Dawn Baptist Church. Amazing what radio can do. And it is highly personal medium, as I said. And it defines distance. It can be in the mountains of Antique or other places in the Philippines. And it solved the problem of lack of personnel, right? Today, there is a great lack of missionaries. But through radio, really helps. Because it can reach a lot of people, radio. And it radio is man's constant companion. In the Philippines, radio is very popular. I remember Jacob, who was saved the radio. This this man, early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning or before that, he would take his water buffalo to graze, to feed, and he would carry his radio while riding on the water buffalo. And by accident, he heard the broadcast and got saved. And now he's a deacon of our church in Pilar, Cafes. That's what happened to Jacob. And the last one here, radio is complementing the work of the local church. It is not competing. It is complementing. Like in our area there, we have so many churches, and pastors are so appreciative of our broadcast because it is helping their members, edifying their members. Every day they listen to the broadcast. And it is helping the work of the local church, not competing. So that's why we are excited about what God can do through the radio ministry. And we praise the Lord for that. And this time I'm going to request brother to see our eight minute PowerPoint here. At least you have an idea of what we are doing in the Philippines. You continue to pray for us. There are still many souls that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will continue to do it until the Lord comes, Lord willing. And we are giving God all the glory for what has been accomplished. At this time, we are going to listen to a flute number. Mrs. Dodeler. Dodeler. The message of that song is very meaningful and so touching, reminding us that we have only one life, and that life will soon be passed. And what really counts is what we have done for the Lord. And we thank God for giving us the joy and the privilege of serving Him. We have only one life. And we pray that the Lord will use it for His glory. Before I give this message tonight, I would just like to thank the Lord for the ministry of other missionaries here. You know, we missionaries need some feeding also. And I would like to thank God for the ministry of Brother Jeremy here, for the messages that we have heard through him. It has been a blessing to my life, and I'm sure to all of you, and the opportunity to listen to the messages he gave. And we thank God for them, for their burden to go to France to reach also the people there. The message tonight is about a man who made two blunders, two mistakes. But somehow the Lord intervened, and later on this man became also a great soul winner. The Lord used him in a very mighty way. Although the story of this that we are going to consider tonight is kind of not a very encouraging passage because of what he did. But I would like you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Another familiar story here. Allow me to read from verses 1 to, just 1 to 6. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, or that is the same sea, the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Gennesaret. It happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends or children, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fishes. The Lord bless the reading of His word, shall we pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we now commit to you this portion of the scriptures that we are going to consider tonight. We pray, O God, that you would bless this again to our hearts, that whatever lessons we can get out of this incident will also be implemented into our own lives. This message is for me and for all of us tonight, and we thank you for bringing us together to feast on this particular portion of the scriptures. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you are familiar with this story. This is about Peter. You know the first blunder that Peter made when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. But after that, after realizing what he did, the Bible says, and he wept bitterly, realizing that what he did was against the will of the Lord. That was one of the biggest blunders that Peter committed. And here again, in this particular passage of the scriptures, With him here was six disciples mentioned in our text. Six of them plus Peter, seven of them. And Peter said in verse 3, he said, I'm going out to fish, or I'm going out fishing. What is Peter trying to do here? He is going back fishing. He is going to leave his work of preaching the gospel and would like to go back to his old work catching for fish. He is returning to his dear old days of catching fish. That is what Peter is trying to do here in verse 3. Probably Peter said, it is not easy to follow the Lord. You are burdened with heavy load of responsibilities. And it's true that when we follow the Lord, there is a price to pay. There is a cost to pay. When in fact in other places they have to offer their own lives in order to follow the Lord. I remember Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, who was made to choose between life and death. That he is going to forsake his Christ, his Savior, they will not kill him. But if he will insist on standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, they are going to burn him in, right on top of those pile of woods. And what was the testimony of Polycarp? He said, no, I cannot do that. For many, many years I have served the Lord, and I could not just deny him. And they burned Polycarp, according to history. The experiences of Christians before were so hard and so heavy that many of us today have not experienced what they went through. And here is Peter, probably he was tired of serving the Lord. He said, it is not easy to follow the Lord. It is true, there is a price to pay. You are burdened with heavy load of responsibilities. And when you are serving the Lord, you are always thinking of others and less of yourself. You are liable to have your own personal responsibility taken from you. And sometimes you cannot stand the ridicule of people. I remember during my first pastorate in the island of Negros, started a new church there in the town of Bayawan. We had a campaign for 1 month, and the missionary said, he said, Pastor Pert, I want you to stay here and follow up those who accepted the Lord. Start a church. So I did. And it was very hard. I was ridiculed by many people in the town. I think 3 times I said, Lord, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to be a pastor anymore. This is very hard. But thank God he preserved me and let me stay in the ministry. He was there always to encourage me and to protect me. Maybe you don't want to be labeled as a fanatic or ignorant. When I was a kid, we were the only Protestant in our barrio. And they look at us as fanatics, as heretics, because we were the only Protestant in that place. But I'm glad to report to you today that those people who were criticizing us are now listening to my program. They come to me and they said, we are listening to the program and we like the Word of God. That's why it takes a lot of patience when we are serving the Lord. Or maybe we are afraid of human opinion. We don't want to go through that. So we give up. And so this is what happened to Peter. He said, I'm going back fishing. It is more comfortable there. It's easy. I don't want to go through this hard experience of being ridiculed by people. So that's what he did. He said, I'm giving up. I'm going back fishing, Peter said. I'm going to the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias and relax there. You see, fishing is a very relaxing hobby. You can relax when you go out fishing. And there nobody will bother me. I am my own boss. There I can act as I please. It is easy living. And sometimes we are tempted to go towards that direction. We are not willing to sacrifice our time, our talent in serving the Lord. Even in singing in the choir. You know, it is not easy to be there every Saturday and Sunday to practice. It's not easy. I had been through that. But if you have committed yourself to serve the Lord, you don't mind the sacrifices, difficulties, the time that you're investing. But Peter gave up. I think Peter was right. It is not easy to serve the Lord. I'm sure all of us realize that. We must be willing to pay the price. We must be willing to be ridiculed. We must be willing to go through difficult circumstances when we want to serve the Lord. It is not all fun. It is not fun for us to knock on doors and share the gospel. It's not easy. One time when we started the work in the town of Leganes, I told Joel, the one who is in charge of our equipment there in the studio, Joel, I said, Joel, let's go to Leganes. Let's knock on doors. Every house. Let us not going to miss any house. You go to that direction, I'm going to go to this direction. It was not easy. Every house, I said. I was scared. But I know that was the will of the Lord for us. To let the people know that we are going to start a work here in Leganes. And we were able to find out that there were some Protestants around that area. And then in one of the homes that we visited, the old man said, I don't think you will succeed here. There were so many groups already who came here, and it did not last long. I said to the old man, I said, we prayed for this, and we believe that this is God's will for us to start working in the town of Leganes. And so we did. Now you saw on that slide, that big building now in the town of Leganes. They were able to build a 1 million building project, and they are now crowding in the church. The Lord gave them an excellent pastor by the name of Pastor Batikados, because it was the will of God. The Lord promised in His word, the gates of hell shall not prevail against Him. If it is the work of the Lord, it will flourish. It will continue. Our only responsibility is just to be faithful. Just be faithful in sowing the word of God. When you go to a store, give a tract or say something to somebody about Christ. We went to a Chinese store the other day, and my wife gave a tract. I don't know, was that last week? And we came back today, and she asked the lady, did you read the tract that I gave you? And that girl said, yes, it's beautiful. I like it. I mean, sowing the seed. Who knows that through them, she will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So as I said before, every time we get out of the house, let us make an appointment with somebody. That you'll pray, Lord, help me today to talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you pray that kind of prayer, the Lord will open the door for us. Peter gave up. And it was not hard for Peter to influence those six disciples. We know who Peter is. He was a born leader. Whatever he says, the rest follows. So when he said, I'm going fishing, it was not hard for him to convince the six disciples to go with him. And according to what we read here, and they all followed, and they said, we will go with you. Because he was a strong leader. But the only problem here with Peter is, he was not a good influence to those six disciples. Instead of trying to encourage them to go on and serve the Lord, he persuaded them to leave the work. And he said, let's go fishing. Let's leave the work of the Lord. And I think that is also a good question to all of us tonight. What kind of influence are we making in the lives of other people? With a fellow member. When they talk to you, are they encouraged? When people started talking to you, will they be inspired to follow the Lord? Will they be just, you know, be happy and be blessed by your conversation? Am I a good influence to my grandchildren, to my children? I just thank God for helping me to be a, that is my prayer always, to be a good example to my two girls. And yesterday I got an email from my oldest girl, May, and I was about to cry because she said in her letter that she thanked God for me, for being a good influence to her life. And that is our desire, not only to our family, but to other people, that we will be a good example, a good influence to them. But too bad, Peter was not a good example. He must be excited again to go back to the good old days, bring back memories of days of good fishing. And maybe while they were on their way there in the Sea of Galilee, maybe just trying to use our imagination, maybe Peter was bragging, well, yes, follow me. I know where the fish are. Just follow me. I'm an expert fisherman. I know where those big ones are. Maybe he was doing that, no? Because he was a professional fisherman. But according to verse 3, so they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught what? That is the kind of life that you will have. If you are going to live a life away from the Lord, that you will not acknowledge the Lord as, I mean Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, that you will not consult Him with your plans, whatever you do, you are going to fail. We are going to fail. We will only succeed if we are living within the center of God's will. But if we don't, we will fail. Somebody said, if we honor God, if we honor the Lord will also honor us. The Lord also will honor us. But Peter here made a terrible mistake. That night, according to the account here, they caught nothing. God has to strip them of self-confidence, of independent spirit, to make them realize that God did not call them to catch fish, but they were called to be fishers of men. That fishing in the blue waters of Galilee would not satisfy them. That life is more than meat, more than fish, and body is more than clothing, according to Luke chapter 12, verse 23. And that to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes life fulfilling. Do you want to experience a fulfilled life? Follow the Lord. That is the only way to experience it. When you obey Him. When we decided to go back to the Philippines in 1981, it was a struggle. We don't want to stay here in America. With all the comforts, especially to our children. I said, our children will just stay here and they can get a good education. If you just count the advantages, the material advantages and others, you don't want to go back to the Philippines. But it was very clear that God was telling us, I want you to go back. Your people need you. They need to hear the gospel. And so I told my wife. And we made that final decision. We sold our house. She resigned from the hospital where she worked, and we went to the Philippines. You know, after that, did we miss anything? No. The blessings of the Lord just keep on pouring after that. The joy of serving Him, as well as material blessings. If we follow the Lord. And something beautiful happened here after verse 3. According to this account here. In verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. The great fisherman showed up. All the time he knew all that was going on. God, in His mercy, did not allow them to indulge or stay long in their state of disobedience. God appeared to them. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ said? Children! He did not say, hey, you stubborn fishermen! You hard-headed fishermen! He was such a loving God that in spite of their disobedience, in spite of their stubbornness, the Lord Jesus Christ called out, children, children. I like that. He called out in love, in sympathy. That happened to all of us. Sometime in our lives, you remember those times when you failed, when you displeased the Lord, when you refused to obey Him, and there He was still following us with His mercy and with His grace. And we responded to that, and we were restored and back again to His fellowship. And thank God for His mercy. In His mercy, He did not allow these fishermen, Peter and the rest, in that state. Jesus appeared and called them children. Jesus is always there to remind us that when we get sidetracked, or when we are trapped, or when we fail or fall, He is always there to lift us up. You know, one of the most powerful weapons of Satan today is discouragement. So many believers are no longer serving the Lord because of discouragement. And that is one of the most powerful weapons of Satan. Satan can just do anything when you are discouraged. Maybe because somebody did not recognize what you are doing in the church, so you were discouraged, so you stopped going to church. Or probably the pastor did not recognize what you did for the church. You were disappointed. You were discouraged. And Satan will whisper to you, oh, there's no point of going to church. I think you remember that story of Satan, that one day he had a garage sale. Satan is also having a garage sale. And he decided to sell some of his tools. But there was one tool that he kept it. He decided not to sell it. And the people were there, he said, how about that one? No, I'm not going to sell that. I like that tool. And you know what tool was that? The tool of discouragement. He doesn't want to get rid of that. Because it is so powerful. Oh, may that remind us always when we are at the point of being discouraged that we will not allow Satan to overcome us, but to look upon the Lord for help and for mercy. And here, what else happened in verse 6? He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. That's the beauty of the story. Why did this thing happen? Because they obeyed the Lord. That's what brother said in his message this year. It's a question always of obedience. I'm sure the Lord has spoken to, even as he's spoken to me, in the messages that we have heard, I'm sure God has spoken to you through the messages that we have heard already. And may we be willing to obey God. Because if we obey Him, we are going to experience a fulfilled life, a happy life, a satisfied life. Where else will we go? When the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, are you going to go away also? And what was the answer of the one disciple? Where else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There is no better place to go. There is no better place to serve. You are the best of all masters. And oh, how, if I use the word fortunate, how lucky, how fortunate we are that the Lord took us and saved us. But out there are still many in darkness. They don't know where they're going. While I was talking to the Chinese girl in that Chinese store, I said, you know about heaven? Because she can hardly understand English. You know the way to heaven? And just burden your heart to testify. People like that. They look very intelligent, smart. But they don't know the way of salvation. Oh, may God use you and me. I will do my share. I will be going back to the Philippines and do my share. As God opened the opportunities to witness to people. Let us do our share of telling people about Christ before He comes. And I believe this church is going to be, God is going to bless this church if we have that in mind. To make an appointment with somebody, even every day, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are glad that the end of the story is not that bad. Peter repented, and later on he became a very powerful servant of the Lord. So may the Lord bless this, and please pray for our ministry. Pray for the work, that more stations will be added. And as we expand the word, more churches will be established. And we know that the Lord is going to do that for us. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us. I thank you, Lord, for the joy of serving you. Where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us and giving us the privilege to serve you, to witness for your name. I know that you're going to bless this church as they desire to honor you and glorify you in your name. So bless this message to our hearts, Lord, tonight. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.